what happens this evening here is Genevas Das. Genevas Das has a number of very interesting applications that don't seem to at all relate to each other on the surface, but obviously they all relate in the sense that involve some level of deceit. So the format of the shiur that I'd like to do seems a pretty thick Marmakomos package. Obviously not going to go through all of the Marmakomos inside, not that we ever do, but even less so tonight, I guess. We're going to first go through just the basic Hashkafic ideas very briefly, followed by the basic source of Genevas Das, the primary sugya, who in the Tzadzalit, followed by a few of the major halachos, just major parameters, and then we'll spend hopefully a good chunk of the time on applications of Genevas Das and the various times that it may or may not come up, and what exactly the postman have to say about a number of applications of Genevas Das. So just to start us off, the Rambam, oh, by the way, next week, Mirz Hashem, the week before Purim, so we'll do a Purim share on Tuesday night next week. So the Rambam, just to start us off, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos writes, also the other Mahana Gatsum Divrei Halkus Upipe V'lo Ye Echad Deteva Echad Belei. That in general, it's not a good idea. A person is not supposed to try to be deceitful. A person shouldn't be thinking one thing and saying something else. Ella Tocho Kibaro, a person should be someone who the inside is like the outside, the Indian Shabbalev, who has other Shabbatet. Meaning even though sometimes people are nice, right, but it's not always right to be as nice as you possibly can be. It's probably more right to be as honest as you can possibly be. Obviously not to be insulting, but the person shouldn't be, people can sense when you're disingenuous. People can generally sense when a person isn't being fully sincere and doesn't really mean what they're saying. The person shouldn't be after the way. You should be nice in your heart as well, right? For the person should always be consistent on the inside and outside. And then the Rambam writes, the also leader of Das Abrios, Hatilu Das Anafri. And we have an issue that there's an issue of Genevas Das, of fooling people, of tricking people, even on a non-Jew, even to trick a non-Jew. And he gives all the examples that the Gemara is going to give. We're going to see the Gemara, but it's easy to read in the Rambam. Kate Flat, what are some examples? Lo yimkor l'nafri bakti nevela, b'mokom bakti shkuta. You can't sell a guy Basta Nevela, even though a guy is allowed to eat Basta Nevela, you can't sell it to him and tell him that it's Basta Shkuta. The Gemara brings this up in the context of, and the Gemara says that Shmuel holds that it's absolutely not Das Avrios, and it was in source number 7, so the Gemara says, Shmuel holds that it's absolutely not Das Avrios, even Baito Shalovit Kochavim, and then the Gemara says, but Shmuel never actually said that. We just know it from a story that occurred with Shmuel, and apparently Shmuel was taking a ferry somewhere, and he asked his shamash to go pay the ferry driver. And apparently Shmuel got upset at his shamash in the way that he paid him. And the way the Gemara goes on to say was that the person, the shamash, gave the ferry driver a piece of meat, and he gave the impression to the ferry driver that the piece of meat was a kosher piece of meat. And it happened to have not been a kosher piece of meat. Now, it wasn't listening to either. It's not a Jew who's going to eat a piece of non-kosher meat. It was a guy. The Gemara later on discusses that there may be a problem of listening either in that also, that if people see a Jew giving something and not clarifying that it's not kosher, the guy may sell it to a Jew, and the Jew may come to eat it. But on the simplest level, the Gemara says, that's what we see. That's where we see that Shmuel held this shita, that you're not allowed to be going to Das Abrios. And it goes on to say, the other case that the Gemara gives of Lo Yisrael, the Chaver Sheyokhlet, the Yodei Shehen Ochel, a person shouldn't invite a friend over to eat, or somebody over to eat at his house, when you know that he's already invited somewhere else, and you know he's not going to accept the invitation, and sometimes you just have an obligation to appear as if you're being nice. So you'll wait for a time when you know that the person is not going to be able to come, and that's when you invite the person over, and you're just doing it so you can appear to be nice, and even though you have no intention whatsoever of having the person over at your house. That's Genevas Das as well. Well, you have a bit of Krovis, don't act like you're someone's best friend. We are there, Shayna Makabo, when you know that the person is not going to be interested in being makabel your newfound closeness with the person. Right? You shouldn't do things insincerely. It all comes down to that. And then the Rambam says a very key line, I underlined it, Vafilu mila achas shel tipa v'shel Genevas Das, aser. Even a single word of Genevas Das is aser. And even if it's just one word that you say that gives a false impression, even that's us. So we're going to see why that's significant a little bit later on. So the Rambam says, rather, what's a person supposed to be? El tzfas emes, ruach nachon, malez tahar nikalam alavos. That a person should always have, speak the truth, he should have a pure heart, and he should be a very honest person, that we shouldn't try to trick people, deceive people, fool people. Now this is obviously, the Rambam is not only speaking in a business context, obviously it applies in a business context as well. In a business context, usually though, when there's Geneva's bath, there's usually Geneva as well. When there's smoke, there's fire, and in business, there's usually actual Geneva that takes place as well. In many cases of Geneva's bath, there's actual Geneva that takes place as well. Not in all cases. The Rambam is speaking on an interpersonal level, where there's not going to be actual Geneva, where it's purely, where you can really boil it down to only Geneva's bath. Another agadic point, that was pretty halakhic actually, but an agadic point is the Rambam Sof and Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. It was a very powerful statement. I don't know how often the Gemara talks like this. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonan. There are three people that God hates. To speak about God hating a person sounds pretty harsh. And one of the people is, Hamadaber, Echad Deteh, the Echad Belay. Someone who speaks one way outwardly with his mouth and is thinking something else on the inside. That's someone that comes from with. The other two, just by the way, Hayadeh Eglus to Chavei Rehe Delei Adolos, you know Eglus about somebody, and you withhold the Eglus. Rod, Dvar Erva to Chavei Rehe Umei Vol Yechidi. Or if you see something that your friend did, and you're made alone about it. You're made Echad on an Avera, where you know that you're not enough to convict the person of any crime because you're only an Eid Echad, so then it's spot Lashon Hara. You can always talk about what the person did. And in fact, if you ever read through the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, you know, all the halachos of Lashon Hara, the Shmir Salashon, the Chavetz Chaim, he comes back to Pesachim Kutsu Gimel on almost every page. And that's that last thing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonan, of being made Yechidi, and what exactly the parameters are, that's one of the more clear Marim Makomos about the Yisrael of Lashon Hara, the Shavisha that we have in Shas. But bottom line, I mean, the point for our purposes is that the first of the groups that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing for all the rest, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, the Sama was Medaber Echad Beteh Reach Belay. Rashi on Chumash, the very famous Rashi on Chumash, Rashi tells us that the brothers of Yosef, even though we would not think of this as a praise of them, it says V'lo Yachlu Dabru L'Shalom. The Chumash tells us they couldn't speak to him peacefully. They couldn't look him in the face and act like they were friends with him. They hated him, and therefore they couldn't speak to him in a normal way. Rashi says this isn't all negative, because Knuson L'Man Nishvakom. From the negative, we also see the great positive in this. Because Shalom Dibnu, Achas Petavach Tzolei. Rashi very clear. It's much worse to pretend you like somebody and to pretend you're friends with somebody when you really hate them on the inside than it is to just be honest with somebody. And if you don't like the person, so don't talk to the person. You don't have to yell at the person. Don't talk to the person. Give the cold shoulder. Better to give the cold shoulder than to go ahead and to pretend that you have this fondness for the person that you don't actually have. That's the issue of Geneva's Das. Now it happens to be, we're going to see Chazal treat Geneva's Das on a certain level more severely than they treat actual stealing. We said when there's smoke, there's fire, very often Geneva's Das leads to actual stealing, but we often have the wrong perception of it. You think, yeah, Geneva's Das leads to actual stealing, but Geneva's Das isn't quite as bad as actual stealing. We see on a certain level Chazal viewed it otherwise. Chazal, for instance, tell us that even though we have an issur of Geneva's Das from a guy, Mida Oraisa perhaps, because you hold Geneva's Das Oraisa, could be that the Geneva's Das from a guy is Mida Oraisa, from the Geneva from a guy is not Mida Oraisa, right? Because what happens is also, but not Mida Torah. So the question though is, why should that be the case? Why is Geneva's Das worse, that it's treated more severely, and even being goaded das of an akum is going to be usher and more usher than actually stealing money from the akum. So I have this sefer upstairs, very nice leather bound sefer, that has two portions, two halakim to the sefer. The second chelak is all about emes. The whole second chelak of the sefer is chapter after chapter about dealing honestly with people. And in the footnote over there, he tries to explain what it is about Geneva's das that makes it so much more severe than regular geneva. You're right. The Shamati Me'agon of someone Berk of Itzlita, I don't know who it is, Hezra Al-Khamakan, Nibu Geneva, Shnesa Gamkin Gazai, that he explains it from why this is more Chomer than Geneva, she is so the Itzu Yechel Gamkin Tziruv Shal Sheker Va'adha Luzun Lazda. Because Geneva's that, in addition to wronging the other person, there's also an element of Sheker and of Hashkasa Samidos. Who are Hashkasa Samidos, Valdera Samin Chaskinos. He says this is where one not only does wrong to somebody else, but you're actually doing wrong to yourself. You know the famous formulation of the Gra that we generally think of two types of mitzvahs, benazim l'makom, benazim l'chaveru, and the Gra adds a third category. The mitzvahs benazim l'atzmo. And a person can't do something where they themselves become a different person, become a worse person for it. So true, any aheri, you become a worse person on some level, but there are certain aheris that just train you into thinking in a different way, and into running your whole life in a different way. And Geneva's Das is one of those aheris. For instance, we had by Nesira, right? We discussed in Shabbos and Midrash, but before that in the Shir, we had a Nesira. It's not just that you're doing something bad to the other person. It's look at yourself. Take a look in the mirror when you're being most of someone else, another Jew, from the non-Jewish authorities. Look who you're aligning yourself with. It's a life hashtaka that it really reflects. And that's what Canadian fast is as well. It's not just I'm doing something to the other person. It's not just being other Muchaveo. It's look what I'm doing to myself. I'm becoming Chetzav Sheker. That's what I do. It's all about Sheker. And he cites the Mukhasimu, because Mukhasimu explains that even if you hold that Gzeilas Goy is Midrabanan, Gneivas Goy may be Aser Min HaTorah. Very fascinating comment. We know that there are differences between Gzeila and Geneva on a halachic level, but this is one that's not often highlighted. That even if you hold the Gzeila of a guy, that the Gzeila of a guy is going to be Midrabanan, it could be that the Geneva from a guy is Minatoro. Why, says the Mishas Pinuch? Because, he says, if you look at toward the end of the first column of the Mizenu, that Torolo Asra Zeh, he did Mamon Mavad, because the Isser of Geneva is not only an issue of money, Rakhamida Hagrua Hazos Ba'atma Torah Asra. It's the negative Mida that it takes to be a Ganon. In King Bishlam of Gezel, do Rakhta Torah Asra Mamon Chazero. Gezel is just, you can't take someone else's money. In King Efshad Dishal Ve'lo Asra. So it's possible that the Torah never answered the money of a guy, according to those shittos, the gezeila of a guy, the money of the rabbanon, so the money of a guy has a different factor in our eyes. Avol geneva, the ashalosim is not, kidei shalom yilmod mido hagru azos, but geneva trains a person to not be in your shemayim. It trains a person to have negative midos. In case achni goyos, kidei shalom yagru azeh, va'azeh tzidat Torah. That's the Isser. The Isser is that it's what you're going to come into, grow into the habit of doing, and it's going to create Midos Mushkosas. And however, the Mishkosas adds, very, very interestingly, if it's about the Midos Mushkosas that create the Isser Daraisa, what is that Pachos Mishav Kuta? Right? It's not about the money, it's about the Midos. So why does he still Pachos Mishav Kuta? This is Akhla Torah, the Shita Felu, Gamdi Pachos Mishav Kuta over Al-Alavateh. It seems that even on Tosfos Mishav Kuta, you should be over the law of Gezeh. Let's be married to the law of Gezeh. Look from Chatishir. Forget about the Chatishir. Chatishir is a din in Mabon. Over here, it's not a din in Mabon. It's not a din in Mechaveh. It's not a din in Mo'atzmo. So if it's a din in Mo'atzmo, so that's going to be also even on the Chatishir. The issue is Abraham, the Mishnah, the Shem HaShem, the Peretz, the Zeh, the Tzalkin, the Tzalkin. There's a lot more to talk about. The Mishnah Stim all the time promises. He says, you know, if I had more time, I would tell you so much more. He always, he says, but my job is always to try to give you just the kitzur. I don't want to give you more things than you need. Because it's interesting, why do people quote the Mishnah Stim so much? He says a lot of rage, but he says a little bit different than everybody else. I mean, there's a lot of famous rage, famous Mechonsim in Rishonim that people deal with. Mishnah Stim probably does just one little extra twist, because he wouldn't write it otherwise. It's not that he didn't know all the other rage. He said, the purpose of the Sefer is just give you a little refreshing angle on things. And that wasn't dealt with by all of the other scholars. That's the way the Mishnah Stim operates, and that's why he's so great for shooting, because it always comes up with something that that other people haven't quite thought of. Now, exactly what the Isser of Geneva's Das is major machlokas in Rishonim. I mean, what's the Isser? Which part of the Pasuk in the Torah? where it says that you're not allowed to do Geneva Stas, that you're not allowed to deceive people in whatever way. So the Gemara Chulin, as we said, is the primary source of Shas for Geneva Stas. The Rambam pretty much paraphrased the entire Gemara. We don't have to go over it again. However, in terms of what the issue is, if you look at the Rambam, the source number 8, the Rambam includes Geneva Stas together with the demon of Ona'ah. So apparently, he implies that there's some sort of parallel between Ona'ah and Geneva Stas, right? That Ona'ah is, you have Ona'ah's Mamun and Ona'ah's Mubarak, right? Ona'ah's Mamun is I charge the wrong price for something. I deceive you and by charging you, right? The Gemara says that there's a difference between Ona'ah and Bithel Metaf, right? Ona'ah is when you hit the 1/6 mark, when you're off of the price by 1/6, so then you pass the threshold of just simple Ona'ah, where I've charged the wrong prices, I've fattened my prices, and I've gone to the point where Bithel Metaf, the person who said this is ridiculous, it's in the store that blah, perhaps the price that you sold it to me, you know, this can't be happening. Right? And they can actually get a return based on that. Based on the rule in their favor, they don't have to give them their money back. But Ona'ah you have with money, you also have Ona'ah Tavarin, right? With flattery or whatever else, right? With fooling someone into thinking you're going to buy something, you're going to the store, shopping around, window shopping, things like that, where you make it appear as if you're interested in buying something when in general you really have no interest, right? So just like you have Ona'ah in Mamon and in Devarim, you have Gezel as well. You have Geneva as well. In Geneva Das as well, with both Mamon and with Devarim. Now the implication of the Rambam is that Geneva Das is an outgrowth of the Isser of Ona'ah. The problem is that Ona'ah for a guy may not be Asser. So Geneva Das is an extension of Ona'ah. Why is it that it should be Asser even for a guy? So the Bach deals with this. I'm not really sure I understand the Bach. I put it there in the Marvel Thomas. We're not going to have time to go through it anyway. But you can take a look on your own. I don't think I understand what he's really saying at the end of the word anyhow. The Ritva in the Sefer Shulchan indicates that the Geneva Stas is just another form of Geneva. Right? I underline the key part of the Ritva source of the time. The Isser Geneva Stas shall not be custom stocks of the same Meshav Al Tosazal. Shehu Isser Torah, this is our right so. Right, as we see in the Torah, it's based on those novels, right, the Isser of Geneva Stas is spam, it's the Isser of Geneva either way, meaning the Ritva would hold that even from a guy, Geneva Stas is the Oraisa, the Ram would say Geneva Stas from a guy is only the Rabbanon, Ritva says Geneva Stas from a guy is the Oraisa. The Urayim split, he says, if your Geneva Stas is causing you a monetary gain, so then it's based on Geneva. If your Geneva Stas is not causing you a monetary gain, you just spam fooling somebody, so then it's not Geneva anymore, then it's Ona'ah or whatever else. And you could split the two elements of Geneva Stas. And then you have the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, which is primarily obviously a Mitzvah Sefer, but he writes in the Shari Tshuva in source number 12, that Misha Matas Kaveh Lema Kiyasi Motovo, Diva Tovo Lava Malatza, Amr Rabbe Sedin Zuchon Rabbe Asur Lidin of Gas Abiyas Vafiru Gas Nakri, and he goes on to say, why? This is worse than stealing from a guy. Yanu beyan because kisfas sheker ashomer rabba. That when a person lies, that's a terrible sin. In the scribe of Gizrei MS, Kihimi Yisodei HaNefesh. MS is what we're all about. MS has to be part of the way we define ourselves. And when a person is deeply involved in sheker, that's highly problematic, and therefore the Geneva Stas is based in sheker. So basically where the Geneva Stas comes from is either Ona'ah, Geneva, some combination of the two, or Stam and Isser Sheker. Right? Those are the three or four basic shittos of what the Geneva Stas is all about. Now, just a couple of halachos before we get into the practical ramifications. The reason why I said that initial Rambam was very critical was the decision that poses Rashi and Tosfos, is it possible to violate the Isser of Geneva Stas without ever saying a word? I just give a false impression. Go with a guy that I really don't even know his name and give him a nice pat on the back and don't say anything to him. Just act in a very friendly way. Whatever it is, I give off an impression. Sometimes you don't have to say something. You don't have to say anything to give off an impression that is a false impression. So what if I do Geneva Stas without saying a word? some of the Machlokes Rashi and Tosos, whether that was actually Gneivas Das or not. The question is, which side of this Machlokes does the Rambam fall on? If you look back at source number one, the Rambam had that line, V'afimu miwa atas shalpito v'shal Gneivas Das asir. Even a single word of Gneivas Das is asir. So what the Mishnah is Mosaic, yes, a single word. The zero words is not going to be an answer. It has to at least be a word of Gneivas Das. Not everyone's convinced that this is a great deal in the Lashon Rambam, because the Rambam is obviously saying, afilu, meaning he's trying to express just how far the issue goes. He's not giving an exact halakhic definition, meaning he's saying when you're talking to somebody, so then even though Mila Akas is going to be asur, if you're doing it through Dvarim. Sometimes you can do Gneivas Das through acts as well that don't involve Dvarim. Picture is worth 1,000 words sometimes, and it's much worse than Dvarim. So the Lashon Mishnah wants to be invited to the Rambam, others aren't so thrilled with the deal. Okay, you can read the Rambam for yourself and see whether how you feel about that deal. Shulchan Aruch adds, and this is also based on the Gemara, that although it's also to be going to Das Abrios, a person can fool himself. Meaning, you're allowed to let a person gain a mistaken impression that it's his own fault if he thinks that. You know, let's say the case in the Gemara, just to give you the case that the Gemara has, is two Amoraim were walking on the outskirts of town. They happen to be going somewhere, and they see another Amora who's coming to the town. He says, wow, you came all this way to greet me. They said, well, actually, we didn't. We were walking anyway, but don't worry. If we would have known you were coming, we would have walked even further. We would have been, happy to greet you. So after the fellow passed by, one of the Amora who sat there quietly the whole time said, why did you make him feel bad? Why did you have to tell him that you didn't come to greet him? No, I didn't want him to come in fast. I didn't want him to think that I came all the way to greet him. So he said back to him, well, if he wanted to think that we came out to greet him, that's no problem. That's not our problem. We didn't do anything to purposely deceive him in any way. This is the classic example that the Postman quote. When you go to visit someone in a hospital, right? So sometimes it's in a hospital too, there's an assistant. So let's say, I would know somebody else in the hospital who's there was ill or whatever, for whatever reason, is in the hospital. And I'm visiting my sisters, and my sisters just had a baby. That's clearly why on a busy Tuesday afternoon I would take that time to go to the hospital. I'm not going to some visit someone who I casually maybe am an acquaintance of, at some point in my life. But once I'm there anyway, I'll see how the person is doing. Right? So there's a question in the postgame, so is that an instructor to give a stop? Do I have to go in and say, first things out of my mouth, first words out of my mouth, I'll give it to my sister, I thought I'd stop in and see how you're doing. Or can I just play casually and just go in, how you doing, as I'm doing, ignore the fact that I can't give it to my sister. So you really have to judge the situation. If it's a situation where the person is such a casual acquaintance that it would be utterly ridiculous for you to go to the hospital to visit them, they're there for whatever, nothing dangerous, nothing terrible, just, some, minor issue, and you're not even that close with them, but then the person should have thought of it themselves, and then you could say, ew, I thought they were not saying, he made his own mistake, I didn't fool him. But it's a close call, and the person is likely to think, yeah, there's sometimes a chiva call. I don't know if people don't realize them, especially when there are a lot of avelim, right? So people don't realize why you're there. Because you could be going to be menachem of somebody who you have a relationship with, and there's someone else there who you don't necessarily have as close a relationship with. And the person's going to think you came and they're singing different rooms or whatever. You sit down, the person's going to think you came to them. That's a little bit, so you don't always get to talk at Shibukov. You're just supposed to sit and wait for the other talks, and you don't always get, depending how crowded it is, you don't always get to the front. But it's also something to be sensitive to if the person is likely to think that you came to them. So, I don't know if you know them, make friends with your uncle or something like that, and they'll realize then that you came to the uncle as well. It doesn't have to be in an insulting way. The way the Gemara says it is, now you didn't come to you, came, right? But it could be done in a nicer way if you preempt it, right? If the person, you don't wait till the person says, you came to me, right? You preempt it and say, oh, I happen to have been visiting, I happen to be good friends with this other person who's sitting shiver now, I wanted to see how you're doing well, so I wanted to sit with you for a few minutes. And the person will be grateful, they're not going to feel terrible if you say something like that, I don't think. So that's the halakha that you're allowed to let someone fool himself. There's an interesting case that I saw in this sefer, this MS Kana sefer, He had a case where apparently a couple of weeks ago, when he saw it on the valve, it was a baby boy was born around for a time, and as many baby boys were born around for a time, they named the kid Mordechai. Not a Hashem, they named the kid Mordechai, the more logical choice. And sure enough, about a month later, a few weeks later, whatever it was, he gets, the person was an artist, so the name is Mordechai, he gets a little note with a check from a relative in America. He has a little bit of shyness, so it's not much. And with a big check, it means so much to us that you named the baby after our father, Mordechai, whatever, you know, the father named the little Mordechai. It means so much to us. We're so grateful to you. You know, please accept our gift, our baby gift, whatever it was. And absorb in some money for a baby gift, like $1,000, a couple thousand dollars, something like that. This is lots of baby gift, obviously. So the person felt bad because they didn't even know they had a great uncle Mordechai. And then they named the kid Mordechai. So they didn't know what to do. So some of the folks said, you are Tassel Menashe. The guy's going to think that you have no shyness with me. You made me after his father. Maybe it was more important, you know? The person has to be able to think about himself. But other postings said, sending the check back, don't say it, just say, we didn't name him so that we can have your money. So sending the check back, and if he sends the check back the second time, then you can say, okay, I did my part. There's a question, but that's a good application of the Iluat Rasa Yanachi. It's a clear call that the person themselves caused their own, were delusional in the sense, so you have every right to allow that impression to stick. You don't have to stop it. There is a halakha though that I couldn't find the Yerushalmi. I wrote it on the sheet, but I still quoted it in the sefer. I couldn't find it. But I think it is a famous halakha. I think it's in the Talmud Bavli as well, in slightly less clear terms, that if a person thinks you know a lot of Torah and you don't know a lot of Torah, that you're supposed to correct them. I mean, the Talmud Bavli says that you're allowed to lie about Girsa, which means a little bit of a different context. It means you can say you know less than you do, right? I mean, you don't have to go around saying that you know everything. If you do, you can say you know things you know. Here you're trying to take the other end. People assume you know a lot. They assume, people, especially kids, when you have kids that are like Shana Aleph in Israel, right after high school. So every Rebbe they meet is a go-know one. It's the biggest Talmud Chacham that ever lived. And he knows all of Shas by heart. The Rebbe quotes one Rashba, the Talmudim are saying, he knows every Rashba in Shas by heart. That's just the way the mind operates, for whatever reason. So people go and they want to give you this respect. Ah, you wrote a halakh article, you know, hey, all of Shulchan Aruch, knows it all by heart. Right, your Talmud says, you have to tell me, I actually don't know all of Shulchan Aruch. I plagiarize all of them. So you have to correct them. The question is, the kid wants to be a moron and think that it's this massive injustice that you don't get respect as one of the Gedolei HaDor. That you should get. It's not such a joke, you should correct them if they're correctable. Stifler used to say, at least I saw one of the stories, one of the books about the Stifler, that he said it becomes difficult to correct people. In fact, the problem is probably not going to fight to correct people. Maybe he felt he did that. He actually was one of the Gedolei HaDor. And he said it becomes difficult to correct people. Because what happens when you correct them? Ah, he's such an honest too. It adds to the impression. The fact that he says, pretty soon they're going to write stories about me. He puts on sin every day. Everything I do, I can't, turns into a legend already. And he's right. You need the biographies. Every little thing turns into a legend. It's not only simple a lot. But the post can give us the question, why is this any different? Why can't you say you like us in the Nache when it comes to Torah, when it comes to how much Torah you know? Person wants to think that. Why can't you learn to think that? The Yerushalmi seems to be clear. Again, I couldn't find it. But the way they quote the Yerushalmi seems to be clear that you're not allowed to let him mistakenly assume you know more Torah than you actually do. So that's what so it could be. It just seems to me that the chiluk is what exactly the benefit of the misimpression is. If the benefit of the misimpression is Torah, that Torah perhaps is on its own level, that you have to be much more careful with how much honor you receive from Torah. I mean, we know the Rambam speaks in very strong terms about a person receiving honor for his Torah, or certainly demanding honor or expecting honor from his Torah. And it could be that when it comes to Torah, a person has to be very careful about how much kavod he's going to receive from other people as it relates to his knowledge of Torah. Okay, you also have a halacha that the Taus Akum, Avedas Akum, Havkaras Halva'ato, right, if Akum makes a mistake, if a non-Jew has an Aveda, or to not say Daka Halva'a, so these, that we passed in Shulchanach is Mutter. However, it's a question, can you do it with Chasila? Right, can you cause a case of Taus Akum with Chasila? Make him make a mistake, and then, you know, go by that mistake, and say Taus Akum is Mutter. So the Ramah has 2 days about that, and the Siman Shulchan says the reason why it's Asher is not because of Gezela, it's not because of Taus Akum, it's because Knevis Das. Meaning, if you're going to create a situation where the person is going to think something that's untrue, and therefore he's going to make a mistake and charge you a different amount of money than he should charge you, so it's one thing if he charges you a different amount of money than you know, on his own. So that's Taus Akum. You don't have to let him know about that. But when it comes to a case where you're causing that, then it already becomes Knevis Das. Knevis Das, you can't get around. So that's the explanation of the Shita and the Ramah, which I think is how we pass from Halacha, that you're not allowed to do that L'chatchila. Right? That's the Ramah in Chosh Mishnah in Shin Mem Ches. Yeah. We also have, here somewhere, right? We also have another Halacha that somehow relates to Gnevas Das as well. It's a discussion of Shulchan based on two Gemaras in the Sefer Bavdasha. That is, what if a non-Jew gives tzedakah? Sometimes, you know, they'll just be impressed by a Jewish institution or whatever, and they'll want to give tzedakah. So on the one hand, it seems like an open and shut case. What's it talk about? If a non-Jew gives tzedakah, doesn't give tzedakah, why would we be at all hesitant to take the tzedakah that's offered by a non-Jew? So the Gemara in Sefer Bavdasha, though, has a startling approach to this whole idea of accepting tzedakah. If you look at source number 19, the Gemara of Bavdasha tells us, if a woman is Yimid the Shavu Malka, if a woman is the mother of King Shavu, Shavu was a guy, Shavu Adonai Adini, the Kamei Rabbi Ami, the Lok of Linen. He sent 400 dinars to Rabbi Ami, but the Ami didn't accept it. Shavu Kamei the Rabba, he then sent that same check, the same money to Rabba, and Rabbi accepted because of Shalom Malchus. Shomer Rabbi Ami heard that Rabbi accepted the money, Ikbir, and he got very upset. Amar, he said, Lester, the Yavish Kassir Tishabarna, Rashi Melos Meosusa, do you not hold of the idea that we try to dry up the Zuchuyos of the Umos HaOlam so that we'll get the upper hand? I mean, we don't want to grant them more Zuchuyos. If we accept that tzedakah and we do big mitzvahs with their money, so they're giving these zechuyos. Don't you hold that we're supposed to stop this? So, Rava, why did Rava do it? Bishum Shalom Malchus. He did it because of Shalom Malchus. That's the Gemara. What, Rabbi Ami couldn't think of the idea of Shalom Malchus? People are going to get killed if we're not nice to them. Rabbi Ami, not even Bishum Shalom Malchus. So, the Gemara is inviting them to give them an idea of this chavim. Rabbi Ami really got upset. Not that Rava accepted it, but that Rava gave it to Jewish aniyim. He felt that if it was given by a non-Jew, then give it to non-Jewish aniyim. The zechus will be a little bit less that way, right? It will be significantly less that way. They're not going to be supporting Jews. They'll only be supporting their own. So give them, why couldn't Rava give it out to non-Jewish aniyim? Rabbi Ami did, and the Gemara says, Rava not an aniyim of the Kavim Yavinim. In fact, Rava did give it to non-Jewish aniyim, and Rabbi Ami was not, that's only because he didn't know that Rava gave it to non-Jewish aniyim. But the point is, over there, you see what happened was that Rava was allowed to take money that was sent to him, clearly being sent to a Jewish person, probably to distribute in the yeshiva to the kollel guys and whatever, you know, to the poor families in the neighborhood, and Rava gave it to all non-Jews. So what about the Knevis Das? Is that an issue of the Knevis Das? So we have to contrast it with another Gemara in Bavdasha, a couple of Dapim earlier. The Gemara says the same character. If a woman is on source number 18, if a woman is able to shock Malta, Shada Arnika didn't mean to come to Rabbi Yosef. She said the pouch full of money to Rabbi Yosef. Amra, Lahadi the mitzvah. She said, this should go for a great mitzvah. So Yasir Rabbi Yosef come aimba. So Rabbi Yosef didn't flippantly just use it for whatever. He actually thought about it. My mitzvah rabba, what exactly is a mitzvah rabba? What's a great mitzvah? Amra Avaidin, Panya, Shmuel Bar Yehuda, in Poskei Tzavah, Yisoma, Afiru, Tidin Shmuyin, Shmanya Tidin Shmuyin, Mitzvah Rabbi. He says, well, we have a Maramachim that indicates that Tidin Shmuyin is a Mitzvah Rabbi. Use it for that. So he used it for Tidin Shmuyin. So right away, the Rishonim said, wait a second, a little bit of a different attitude. In the Gemara in Daf Ches, so he thinks about how I'm going to spend it, what I'm going to use it for, exactly how I'm going to be very careful with this money. And in Gemara in Daf Yud, yeah, give it to Aryeh Yaakov. Don't give the spirit too much. So that's what Rashi and Daf Yud and Daf Yudalef have, and Papa Daf Yudalef and Aleph, and both Rashi writes, but the difference is that when a person gives you tzedakah, when a non-Jew gives tzedakah, just gives the money, so non-Jews are aware that Jewish people support many non-Jewish causes. Right? It's true. Jewish people will give. When there's a Hurricane Katrina, when there are things, Jewish people will send money. They'll very often support non-Jewish causes. They'll give the money to the guy in the subway, they'll give money to non-Jewish causes from time to time. So since she's aware that we do that once in a while, it's not called Gneva's Daas to go ahead and do it. However, if she says specifically, I want this to be spent for a mitzvah rabbah, to get Gneva's Daas, it's probably Gneva to spend it for anything other than a mitzvah rabbah. The money was given out tonight that it should go to a mitzvah rabbah. She just wasn't aware of what constitutes a mitzvah rabbah. It was a Shulchan Aruch, Paksin Zahalacha, source number 22, that it's absolutely so lethal to not from the Ovdi Chazin. Publicly, you're not allowed to accept money from the Ovdi Chazin. Then you have to look for the Ovdi Chazin Bitsina, Harry's a Muslim. Unless you're not just going to start, right? There's no Jews are offering you any money. And the person where the non-Jews are giving on the condition that they can have their name in bright lights, and that this transfer of funds is taking place. But then it's Muslim. Sar of the Ovid Kochad Mel Shulchan Aruch says, you have someone who's an officer, Shasharat Mavli Yisrael Tzedaka, Ein Rak Vim Rosa Mishum Shalom Alfred. Taken directly from the Lord of Rasha. You have an important person from Ovid Kochad who sends money, don't give it back. It's a slap in the face to give it back. And we're not the men of the Yenachim Ani Yenachim to say that. Privately give it out to Tani Yenachim to Vishlo Yishma Sar and try not that the word shouldn't get back to the Sar. Interesting. Even though the Tzar knows that Jews give some tzedakah to non-Jews, you shouldn't, put it in his face that you're giving all of it to non-Jews and thereby minimizing his own zakut. From the Rambam Ed, Yeshua b'yachad b'mashal tivul al Moshe, and you have to do what he told you to do with it. That's based on the other Gemara of Rasha, where she said mitzvah rabba, and they have to do with it what you're supposed to do, what it was meant to be done with it. Maybe it's Kedai to read through this Taz. This Taz on that halacha in Shulchan Aruch, on these issues of taking the tzedakah from the non-Jews, says the Taz, Yinosan Aniyah of the Tzavim, Avu Yisrael, Lo, this is the Yavish Ketzir, Tishabar, Teresh, Kishayit, what does that mean, the Gemara says? Kishayichla, Lichluchus, Lichus, Shalom, the Tzavim, Od Yishabeli. When any moisture of zechuyos is sucked out of the Ovdei Chachamim, then they're going to break. So we certainly want that to happen sooner rather than later. We don't want to give more zechuyos. That's the type of kasha. The bereisha he threw a kabel b'tzina. But the previous sifra shulchan aruch we just said, we were allowed to take this stuff privately. And apparently we're not worried about the zechus that the Ovid Chavim is going to get when he takes this stuff privately. Udrisha hitches that. Udrisha asks the kasha the teammates, and the answer is, when you're accepting the stuff as an individual, keep it true, man, and mutter. So since you're getting direct hand off from it, so it's mutter. Abel gadai she'emo hana'ot. Also, we go to close to the club and show another thing. That if you're just the guy stuck in charge of the funds, then you're not allowed to take it from the other club. Then it's giving them zechuyos, you're not allowed to do that. But on private levels, for you, you're allowed to give them zechuyos by taking on a private level. That's ridiculous. It's a moha. The heich natural the harich hagolus b'shvil ana also. What's the teacher saying? You're giving them zechuyos, so you're going to make our golus longer. Why is it okay to make our golus longer? Because it's for you, for your own benefit. For your own benefit, you're allowed to make the golus for the God's promise for longer? He says, V'nir elishayin shayich v'yavish katsira eluk shol v'chav mechavim b'chal an Yisrael. He says, the idea of Goyim taking an extra zechus and having the golus elongated because of it is only when the kavana of the Goy is for an Yisrael. U'b'zeh miyakir shem Yisrael v'zeh, b'zeh yishchus gadol. That's where it's a great zechus. If he's doing it specifically for Aniya Yisrael, that's what David the Shavu Malka was trying to do, and that's why the Rabbi got all upset. Because she obviously meant it, she never stated it, which was her mistake, but she obviously meant it for Aniyei Yisrael, what it's meant for Aniyei Yisrael, and given to Aniyei Yisrael, that's going to be great success for the Avdei Chachamim. The Rosh Hashanah the Kaddish Yisrael, the Avdei Chachamim of Rashi, she yelled the Gamkin from Bryson, Gamkin, and the Avdei Chachamim in Yisrael, even though Rashi says she was well aware that we also give some money to non-Jews, then looking, have we laid Gnevas Das, because had it not been for the fact that she's aware that we give to non-Jews, also would be Gnevas Das for us to give it all to non-Jews, if Rosh Hashanah picked the Samos and we call Nothom, the Iker B'Shvil Aniyei Yisrael, the Zenit Pidum, should be Yavish Tetzura. It's only when from primary intention, when the Ovid Kavim's primary intention is for Aniyei Yisrael, that's where we're concerned about the Zechus we're giving them. Now, Shem Kein Bereshu, Shem Kavim, Ain Kavim, Ain Kavim, Ain Yisrael. And when he says people ask him, he sees Nebuch, a poor guy, has no money, and no one's giving him any money. So it's on an individual level, it's not the individual versus the seaborn. It's human being versus a Jew. Does the guy want to say, I'm giving to the Jews, or does the guy want to say, Nebuch, a poor person, I'm going to give to an Ani? That's the difference. If he's found giving to an Ani, that's not a great Zuchus for him, we don't have to worry about that. But if he's giving it to the Jews, then we really have to worry. Then it's already going to become a great Zuchus. That could possibly make our goals longer than it's supposed to be. The smart in the commentary of Shulchan Aruch writes that if it's standard practice, just going back to another halacha of Gnevas Das, that if the standard accepted practice is to say certain things in a slightly disingenuous fashion, meaning to give an invitation when you don't really mean it, and everyone does it, and it's an insult not to do it, whatever has become accepted as the standard practice and is normal derech eretz, so that's okay to do. And that's what the Gemara in the Erevin, Daf Kuf, who just, not that, it's a true story, but in the Daf Yomi, right, as we know, the Gemara says that, let's say the Torah never would have been given. A lot of the Inyanim of derech eretz we would have figured out anyway. And one of the Inyanim of derech eretz is very strange. The Gemara describes the Tarnagol. When the Tarnagol was about to mate, so the Tarnagol makes a motion to its mate, right, the Gemara says, we would have known a lot of derech eretz from different animals. And we would have been able to learn ethics without Torah. And so the Gemara explains that when the Tarnagol is about to mate, it makes some sort of motion as if it's telling the female that he's going to buy her a great big coat, this long coat. And then after he mates, he lowers his head in a way like, if only I had the money to buy you a coat. You know, I wish I could afford it. So you see, that's where we learn derech eretz. So because you see that there shouldn't be, he should speak nicely to her in advance, and it shouldn't just be quickly jumping into something without knowing that she's perfectly comfortable. So that's the derech eretz. But that's some of the problem. Wait a second. That's derech eretz. He's promising her something he can't give her. I can't believe it. At the end. He promises. But maybe that's the point, that when it's the normal way, that's just the way it's done. It's normal to speak in that way. You have people who can't afford great things that tell their wives, if only I would buy you this and that if I could afford it or whatever it is. And it's their heads to say, to show how much affection he should buy a small things that he can afford. But you know, it's their heads that way to show his affection in that sense. Right? That's the Baruch HaTzadikim Reis. I was shocked to find Baruch HaTzadikim Reis in the Shara Chanukah. So he says that it's okay for Shalom Bayit to say things that you can't possibly do if it makes her feel special. Right? Because she knows where your heart is. Obviously you have to measure it. You have to know when it's going to make her feel special and when it's going to make her angry that you don't actually do it. Right? But he says, we ask the Father to show me Shalom Bayit. You give extra compliments. You know, it doesn't cost you anything, and it's perfectly fine to give a compliment to a wife, even if you don't think she's looking her greatest. I say, but she feels like she could be looking good, or whatever, to say, those are obviously not mocking her. To say something nice, and even though it may be an issue of Gnevas Das on that level, since it's a derech kavod, so that's mutter to engage in Gnevas Das on that level. I saw some of the folks who want to relate this to the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva also told his wife, I'll give you your Shalayim Shel Zahav, which is a very fancy piece of jewelry, and they had no money. She was from a very wealthy family, but to marry Rabbi Akiva, his shver, her father, said, if you marry this Amaret, this for nothing Amaret, you're written out of the will, and you're not getting any support from me. And she did it anyway, and they had no money. And he would tell her these nice things. I was going to buy her these nice things. But apparently we glorify that, because apparently that's okay to do, even though he obviously couldn't afford it at the time. And in the end, obviously, it was well worth it for her and for him. You know, he was able to get her to give her even more valuable things than the Yerushalayim Shalzav, the fancy piece of jewelry that he had initially promised her. The Gemara also tells a shocking story. The Gemara says that a person gave a chavish al yayin with shemen stuff al piha, with oil on the top of the chavish. He gives her, for instance, a big barrel and fancies oil on the top. So she says, ah, kazalba, with a barrel of oil, I'll be able to invite over a lot of guests. We'll have a big party, and there will be oil that's very commonly used during the meal. There'll be plenty of oil to use for the meal. But in fact, it wasn't really oil, and there wasn't going to be enough oil to use for the whole meal. And he invited over all his friends, and everyone came, and they took out the barrel of oil, and it was wine. And he got so embarrassed that he killed himself. It made seems like he choked himself. So the posting saying what you see from that Gemara, and it's also from Shofar, be specifically careful about Nevesah when there's a chance for Gusha, even though it won't always be in such an extreme case, when there's a chance you're going to embarrass someone through your Nevesah. That's obviously something you have to be very much on the lookout. Those are some practical examples of Nevesah that we discussed in the posting, very common Shaila, I think, is when you take Long Island Railroad, so they have these monthly train tickets, you can buy them by the month, but a week, or just a simple round trip even, is cheaper than buying two one-ways, right? So I believe the halakha is on the ticket, huh? It's not cheaper? The month is cheaper than buying it. Okay. So it used to be every once in a while, when I never traveled to the city regularly, but when I was, you know, except for going to YU, but I didn't take the train usually. So, you know, if on an occasion as you go to the city, invariably someone will say, just take my monthly, I'm not going today, why don't you take my monthly? So the Shaila is that initial thing and stuff? It's hard to call it Geneva per se because the ticket was paid for. But at the same time, it's certainly Geneva stuff because you're not the guy that the ticket was meant for. So it seems that that's an open and sharp case. There's no question that that's Geneva status, right? That's certainly a case where you're clearly deceiving the person, you're going against the rules, when you buy the ticket, you're buying it for yourself. It may be Geneva, but there's room to argue whether it's also Geneva Slomi. It doesn't matter. Geneva status is worse than Geneva Slomi in certain level. So it may be Geneva, but it's certainly Geneva status. Obviously, taking a discount when you go into, you see families sometimes going into a park or something, and they're telling their 8-year-old, tell them you too. You have to take the little kids discount, the senior discount. That you don't see people lying about so much. I'm really 75. You know, they don't see that people generally don't like to lie about. But to take discounts on the person not entitled to them, that's mamish Geneva stocks as well. And maybe it's an issue of Geneva itself. Besides for the Geneva stats, right? That's most likely more than just Geneva stats. It's actual Geneva because you're actually not paying what they want to charge you if they knew what you were, who you were. Another issue of Geneva stats that I found interesting, just maybe because I'm in Phoenix, is there's always the issue of cheating on exams. And to what level is it also? Rav Moshe has an unbelievable tshuva. Apparently, I remember my cousin telling me the story that on the morning of one of his regions, his mother came into his room and woke him up with it, and she had a New York Post, a little name in her hand, and she said, quit, hide it! As if, you know, he was the only one that had, and he had all the reasons to finish these answers.
I'm
not going to
have
to on the front page. So Rav Moshe was asked, he said, wasn't it still the reasons? obviously the person wanted Rav Moshe to vent a little bit. So Rav Moshe goes through, again, we're going to find out the whole tshuva. Rav Moshe goes through why, obviously, it's Geneva stats, and it's Geneva's mammon also. What's the reason? What if it's not a monetary gain? So yes, it is a monetary gain. He's a better on his own, he took this in a serious casual, he'll get into a better college, he'll get a better job, and the employer will expect that you'll be a smart person. And if you've been cheating your whole life, and you're not really, you haven't been really studying to excel in or trained yourself to work hard and to know how to do a job right and to know how to work through something, so then it's mamish kaneva to go ahead and to take such a to cheat on an exam. But what I found most fascinating about the tshuva is the end of the tshuva. As Moshe writes at the end of that tshuva, it's source number, look at this, it's source number 45. After going through the whole issue of like Gneva Stas and Gneva Israel, and he says, it's an Isser Bein Adam La'atzmo, what kind of training is that for yourself? Are you training yourself to be lazy and to not do anything? And he says, don't tell me, he says, don't start with me about Bittul Torah. If this is Bittul Torah, he says, you're going to high school, so go to high school. I mean, if you're, to do something and do it halfway, there's nothing worse than that. If you're going to do it, you have to do it properly, which is a sentiment that a lot of the Gedolei Yisrael expressed. If you're going to do something, you have to do it right. It's terrible training for a person to do something the wrong way, and to take shortcuts. There's a last paragraph, he says, Avol Baru, She'etzim Adavah Shoshana Malas Kvodo, Hu Sheker Nisonei HaYeshiva. He says, that which you heard that yeshiva boys are involved in this, it's a lie. It can't be. It's obviously people who hate yeshivos and who hate tzimtzum that are spreading these lies. And the Eilu Sherot and Mahakav Yeshivos, it's obviously coming from those who want to destroy yeshivos. So Lahalo Olios Barasha, Ki Adarav, Yadua Shabnei Yeshiva Eilu, Shachtu Mimudei Chol, Adivim Efo Midim Shalom, Din Batei Sefer Shalom. Our yeshiva students excel in Mimudei Chol more than the average public school students excel in Mimudei Chol. Va'al Yachru Shal Shiro Shal Shekhar, don't believe all these lies. Afshar Yelichtav Zebi Itam, before them, even though it's in all the papers. The service of Yasha, whatever it is, right? He says clearly it can't be. And I just wonder, was he really that naive? Did he really believe that it can't be? Or is he maybe just, is that a very subtle way, or maybe not so subtle way of giving a very strong muster? That our reaction should be that this can't be. It's not just it's something that we do and therefore we react to. It's something that, well, anyone, this isn't the way we act. This isn't what we do. And, you know, one by one, as more and more tshuvas come out about the issue of cheating on exams, things of that nature, you know, all the posters have the same response. What kind of shame on? You know, but he asked the shayla, can I kill someone I didn't know my kid? It's just not so, it's certain things. Shayla tshuva form was generally, initially at least, they were meant for the complicated ones. Right? They weren't meant for, like Rav Moshe has the tshuva, a young man wrote a shayla to him, isn't it looking for me to be in all sorts of relationships with girls prior to marriage? He said, what kind of shayla are you asking? He said, I don't even understand. Okay. And then he said, I only write a tshuva about this because the guy said that he's not going to listen unless Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it. And if Rav Moshe has a tshuva, then he's going to listen. Okay, so I'll write a tshuva, but you know, that's not what shaylos and tshuvos are really supposed to be all about. You see that the Baltimore also, he says, come on, you need to call Sufik to me on this day. He says, I just don't understand what the shayla is. It's pashut, it's Mr. Geneva, it's Mr. Geneva's death, etc. So that is certainly one particular element of Geneva Stas, where it also may be Geneva and Geneva Stas is when teachers didn't pay for practice exam and doesn't do a proper job of doing that. Right? That also may border on those Yisurim as well, because that's meant to stop it from happening. In terms of marketing issues or sales tactics that involve Geneva Stas, Shulchan writes that you're allowed to remove bad fruits, so let's say you have a barrel of fruits, you're allowed to remove all the bad ones to make it look like your fruits are good. Because right? That's normal to remove all the bad ones. But the Shulchan Aruch says, what you're not allowed to do, and unfortunately you see this all the time also in the food stores and what you're not allowed to do is take the bad ones off of the top and then package the whole thing and have all the bad ones on the bottom. Right, that you're not allowed to do. Unfortunately you see that sometimes also. It looks so nice on the top, all the strawberries look perfect. And you take off the top three or four, and the rest of them are all, you know, all right. That's obviously that's an issue in the issue of the Geneva's Path, which, as we said, very often the Geneva's Path leads to Geneva's Mammon. Very often they go hand in hand. There's a big discussion in the posting about if a person is allowed to dye their hair to look younger, right, to get for better employment. And Shiloh and posting were asked about it for a better shidduch. A person who has a Baal Tshuva and is 50 years old and is not married, and he has a beard, and it's white, and he's not gonna, and he wants to marry a woman who's going to be able to have children still, and he wants to look a little younger. I don't know if he's going to lie directly, or just, you know, let her assume maybe he has a young-looking face. So a big discussion in the posting, that too may be an issue of Geneva's Das, but also, in the posting discussed that, there's another issue as well, there's Simas Isha, right, that a person is not supposed to dress like a woman, or do feminine things, such as dyeing one's hair. There's an interesting story one of the posting has, I think it was Moshe Klein in his Mishnah Halacha, says So he quotes it as a svar, he rejects it in the end, because maybe dyeing the beard is not a problem. Because the whole idea is to do like an Isha does, where an Isha doesn't dye her beard. She, if she has one, she gets rid of it, right? So dyeing a circus, an Isha doesn't dye a beard, so it could be that that's not similar to Isha. But anyway, he's mocking on the Isha man. Moshe allows it for the sake of Parnassa. The person's not going to get a good job because he appears to be old, but he knows he can do just as good a job, and it's unfair to discriminate against him. It's illegal to discriminate against him just not as well, but you know, the people do it anyway. Because if it's something that's just an external appearance, so they can't ask you on the interview how old you are. You have to say shekel, but to present yourself as someone who's younger, and who looks a little bit younger, so that what Moshe said is mutter for the sake of Parnassa. I'll quickly just run through one or two more issues. The Pesukim discuss giving candies in your store, to get kids and shvachos to come to the store to buy things there, and you give out free giveaways there. So even though your store may not have the highest quality merchandise, so the Pesukim say that's generally mutter. That's not a concern at all. The question is, the bigger question in the question is, what's the happening that we even think that such a thing would be up to? He is clearly not going to have a staff when a person does that. And certainly, I guess we'll close with this one, is the postman points out that to praise a child, to raise self-esteem, even when the child does not necessarily deserve all the praise you lavish upon them, but if it's necessary to give the child chizuk and to be mechanic the child, so even though generally treating an adult that way may be an issue for the staff, but that's part and parcel of the way the Mechanech had chosen to raise their self-esteem and to be able to create a certain level of Ava Sakoda within the children. Yeah.